We are going to be looking in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And we are going to be looking at verses 15 through 21. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 15 through 21. And I will read the passage, and then we will begin with a word of prayer. So 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 15, and we'll go to verse 21. It says, "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense of altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you now, and we just praise you for all the blessings that we have. We praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood that made atonement for our sins, Lord. And Father, I just come now, and I ask that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit as I present your word. And I pray that your word will go forth and work in each one of our hearts, and we'll be able to learn these lessons and principles and apply them to our lives. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So this evening we are going to be looking at King Uzziah. King Uzziah, and we see King Uzziah's rise and his fall. And so a few questions that we need to consider as we go through the context and go through this passage. But have we ever considered for ourselves that we could be spiritually defunct at one point in our life? And I'm speaking to Christians. True Christians saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have we ever considered that fact? Now, we need to shoot for excellence. We need to have our armor on and walk in the law of the Lord. But do we realize why we need to walk in the Lord and why we need to put our armor on? Have we seen other believers go spiritually defunct or have catastrophic spiritual failure in their lives? And so, think of these things. Consider these things. Now, we might say, well, that seems impossible, or I don't like to think on the negative. But these are things we need to understand. Ultimately, we need to understand our enemy who's out to get us, and he's going to use a multitude of different channels and avenues to deceive us into sin. And so as we look at King Uzziah, we can learn multiple lessons from his life. And 2 Chronicles does a very nice job. The writer here, Ezra, does a really nice job. It's 23 verses sum up his life, and it breaks up nicely, and we'll go through that. But ultimately, we see that Uzziah, he walked with God, and he was blessed by God. And the Lord gave him power and position, but pride came into Uzziah's life. And when pride came in, he became complacent. And when complacency and pride came in, he fell into sin, and then he had to live with lifelong consequences from sin. Now we'll see, though, as we go through this passage, that Uzziah, he clearly had the Lord's favor. he was blessed by the Lord. So there's many different lessons that we can learn, and we're going to go through this. I do want to briefly go through the context of 2 Chronicles and kind of recalibrate our minds on this Old Testament book and bring everybody up to speed of where we are here in the Old Testament. Right off the bat, the author is presumably Ezra, and we could spend quite some time defending the authorship of Chronicles. It's not extremely clear, we believe Ezra, he was writing this, and now Ezra was during the time of Cyrus and the Babylonian captivity, and Cyrus was about to let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. And so Ezra, he wrote 1st and 2nd Chronicles. The other piece here in the context to keep in mind, as always, as we're in the Old Testament, three pertinent promises in the Old Testament. You have in Genesis 12, the land and the seed promise, where God promised Abraham that he had a special land for him. That was the land of Canaan, and that he was going to multiply his seed. And so this is a key promise that I know many of us are very familiar with that. But again, good repetition. There in Genesis 49, Jacob, as he's talking to his different sons, he gives us this prophecy that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, his son, and Judah's tribe. And then we have the Davidic covenant there in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where the Lord promised that he would establish David's throne and his son's throne and his line, and ultimately that Christ would come through that lineage and would be their messianic king. And so just a few promises and a few principles from the Old Testament to keep in mind as we move forward looking in this book. Now, as I mentioned, when is all this occurring? Again, a brief breakdown of the Old Testament. We have our patriarchs. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jacob has his 12 sons, which ultimately breaks into the 12 tribes of Judah, or 12 tribes of Israel. They're in Egypt. Moses delivers them out of Egypt. And ultimately, they want a king, and the Lord, he puts, I skipped a little, Joshua, but I figure pastor's covering that, so you guys understand that. Once Joshua goes in and conquers the land, and we'll touch on Moses, but remember, Moses led them out, and the Lord wanted Moses ultimately to lead them into the land, but Moses disobeyed, and his consequence was he could not go into the land. And so Joshua leads them into the land and conquers and establishes the 12 tribes and their locations there in Israel. So then that brings us to the people. They want a king. And so they have Saul, and then they have David and Solomon. And these were the only three kings that got to reign over the full land of Israel. Now, Solomon, we know, as we just finished 1 Kings with Pastor, he falls into sin, and the Lord divides the land. So Jeroboam becomes the first king of the northern kingdom, also known as Israel. And then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, becomes the first king of the southern kingdom, which was commonly known as Judah. And so ultimately, these kingdoms, these kings that lead these kingdoms, time and time and time and time after another, they fall into sin. They disobey, especially the northern kingdom. And so the Lord finally brings in judgment. So he brings in judgment on the northern kingdom through Assyria. So Assyria destroys the northern kingdom in 722. And then Babylon would come along in 586 and take the southern kingdom, Judah, into captivity. And so I know I'm giving you Old Testament survey, and you got 3 minutes of it, and then we're going to get into this. But it's important to understand, because the Old Testament's vast, and it's large, and we need to understand where we're at when we're studying. And so we have these, what they're called, pre-exile historical books. So this is your 1st and 2nd Samuel, your 1st and 2nd Kings, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. They have a purpose. So as you look, it looks like a lot of history. But the purpose behind it is these writers, they are drawing the line through the kingdom of Judah and the kings. They're drawing a line through David's lineage. And they're drawing a line through the kings of Judah, ultimately leading up to God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ being born through these lines, and ultimately to be the king, their Messiah. And so that's the bigger picture as we're looking at some of these historical books. Now, 2 Chronicles, or actually 1 Chronicles, we believe 1 and 2 Chronicles, both written by Ezra. 1 Chronicles, it details David. King David, his lineage, starts with Adam and goes through all the way to David, and then David's line, and ultimately up to Ezra. Again, going back to some of the authorship there. And then in 2 Chronicles, Ezra, he details the lives of every single king of Judah. Okay, so 2 Chronicles, Ezra's writing about the kings of Judah. All right, now, a few numbers in total between the northern and southern kingdoms, you have 42 kings. All right, three of them, Saul, David, and Solomon, reigned over the entire nation. Then you had 19 northern kingdom kings and 20 southern kingdom kings. One lesson we can learn from them is, as you're going through all these kings, is they were leaders. They were leaders of the nation, and quite often, their leadership set the tempo for the rest of the nation. So the kings fall into sin, the nation would fall into sin, more often than not. And so this is where we are. We are in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're talking about King Uzziah, and there would be three more kings after him until the southern kingdom is taken into captivity by Babylon. Now, one last point regarding as we look at Old Testament scripture, Paul, he's admonishing the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and he says, "Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon the ends of the world are come." So there's multiple purposes as we look at this passage. One, to understand it within its context, in the context of the whole scripture, but two, some of these things might not directly apply, but we can draw these principles from these men who worshiped God and served God and walked with God, and some of the principles of their life, and certainly that's what we're going to do this evening. There's your context. All right. So, now, we're here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and I break it into, I feel you can break this chapter into four points, a little four-point outline. The first 15 verses, verses 1 through 5, it talks about Uzziah's spiritual blessing, where God helps him, God is with him. He's seeking the Lord, and the Lord blesses him as a king of Judah. All right, verses 16 through 18, you see Uzziah's sin. Then we see Uzziah's response to being rebuked for his sin. And then finally, we see Uzziah's consequences for his sin. All right, so now the biggest portion is verses 1 through 15. I'm not going to read. I'm going to give some highlights over those passages, or over those verses, but we're going to first look at Uzziah's spiritual blessing in chapter 26, verses 1 through 15. So there in the first three verses of our chapter, it indicates that Uzziah, he was 16 years old when he became the king. His father died, and he took his father's place. Verse 3 indicates 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. So Uzziah was the son of Amaziah, his father, who was also the king of Judah. He became king at a very young age, 16 years, and he reigned for 52 years. So that would be 68 years old when he passed. Now, you look in verses 4 and 5, it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." So here the writer indicates that Uzziah, off the bat, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I like that that phrase, "in the sight of the Lord." The writer is telling us that his actions were seen by God. And basic principle that we can have, our actions are seen by God. Amen. Now, earlier in 2 Chronicles, the Hananiah, the prophet, he tells King Asa, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." And so we see that the Lord's eyes are running. He sees all of our actions. None of our actions are hidden from the Lord. The Lord details our actions and our lives. And so we see here that Uzziah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Then we also see that it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And so these are great principles. This principle that Uzziah learned when he was seeking the Lord, walking with the Lord, living with the Lord allowed him to prosper. Now, in particular, prosper as a king. Now, he was the king of Judah. This wasn't just the town of Cromwell. This was the promised land. This was Judah, where the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to be born and ultimately be the king. And so these kings needed to have the mindset to protect the land and to build the land up. And so he was prosperous in this manner. Now, a few things, though, we can apply that. We can seek the Lord for blessing. All right, so we need to seek the Lord. Psalm 119:2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." And one other verse, "Seeking the Lord requires humility." And this is going to come up later on and as we look into this passage. But Psalm 10, verse 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." So a person that seeks the Lord is humble and needs the Lord. The proud does not need the Lord. Now, if we remember in Deuteronomy chapter 17, the writer there lays out the different rules for the kings. Rules for kings. They're not to multiply horses, multiply wives, or silver and gold. Two other key points. They were supposed to write a copy of the law, and they were supposed to read the law, the word of God. And what was the purpose for this? Verse 20 in Deuteronomy 17 says the purpose was so that they would keep the law, and they would prevent their hearts from being lifted up above their brethren. All right, so the purpose, one of the primary purposes for writing the law for the kings was to prevent their hearts from being lifted up. They were the king. As far as men went, they had ultimate power. They could do as they pleased. But a wise king would read and copy the law, ultimately to remain humble, to remember who put them there, which was the Lord. Now, going back to our passage, we see in verse 6 through 8, we see Uzziah, he has military success. It says, "He went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines." Now, these might seem like foreign places, but if we recall in Joshua, the Philistines, very common enemy, and it was a smaller tribe outside the land that was constantly quarreling with Israel. And so Uzziah goes in and destroys them, and he breaks down their walls. He destroyed the walls of their strong cities, so Gath and Ashdod. If we remember Gath, that's where Goliath came from, Goliath the giant and his brothers. And then Ashdod, And 1 Samuel tells us that was where their primary temple, the temple of Dagon, their primary god was. So Uzziah, he goes into these lands and destroys them and breaks down their walls. And so these are great victories for the nation state of Judah. Now, continuing, verses 9 through 10, we see Uzziah, he strengthens the infrastructure of Judah. As a wise king would do, he wants to strengthen this nation. And says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and then in the plains. Husbandmen also, and the vine dressers. Verse 11 says, moreover, Uzziah had a... husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. So Uzziah was a wise man. He loved farmers. And so I figured my wife would appreciate that. Uzziah, he strengthens the infrastructure of Judah. It's an agriculture society. He builds towers and fortifies them. He digs wells for water to flow through to the cattle and to the crops. And tells us that he had a love for farming and certainly enjoyed that. And so the Lord uses this and allows a time of economic blessing under Uzziah. Now, verses 11 through 14, it shows us Uzziah's army. I'm not going to read those, but it just depicts that Uzziah, he had 2,600 men that were in his mighty men of valor. These are his top warriors, his special forces guys, his strongest warriors. And then in his regular army, he had 307,000 men. And what he did with his army, he restored the army's weapons. He restored their shields, their spears, their helmets, and strengthened the army. And then finally, there in verse 15, we see that it says, and he made in Jerusalem engines, invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And so during this time of blessing from the Lord, cunning men invented what seems to be a large catapult that would shoot either arrows or shoot arrows and stones. And so this would be something that they would mount and to ultimately help protect Jerusalem and Judah. And so we see during this time of spiritual blessing, the Lord is blessing Uzziah as he's reigning and ruling over Judah, the land that he has stewardship over. Now we get into our text. So in those first verses, we see his blessing. Now you see at the end of verse 15, it says, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And so he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Who helped him? Well, if you remember in verse 7, it says, and God helped him against those nations. And so he was marvelously helped till he's strong. Now, we need to understand the Lord allowed him to be king. The Lord put him in this position as a king to reign over this land, to ultimately strengthen it, to keep it right with the Lord, that they would worship the Lord and not false idols. Among the many other kingly duties. And the Lord helped him and helped him to succeed. But it says, till he was strong. And before we get to that, though, we need to realize the Lord, he elevates man. He elevates each one of us. He's the one who will give us privilege or give us position. And we need to understand that that's from the Lord. Everything's from the Lord. And so it's when we start thinking, oh, this was me. No, I got here, and I did this, and I strengthened this country. And without this country, or without me, where would this country be? It's at that point where our strength, we realize our strength is from us and not from the Lord, where we can get into trouble. And this is where Uzziah got into trouble. It says, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, we need to understand the clear and basic principle that the Lord hates pride. He absolutely hates pride. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, the froward mouth, do I hate. The Lord hates pride. And pride attacks every single one of us. And so we need to realize that pride is an enemy that we need to be aware of constantly in our spiritual lives. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And so we see that principle there in Proverbs laid out here for Uzziah. Before destruction comes, the heart of man is haughty, and Uzziah was strong. And so we see, moving into verse 16, we're going to see Uzziah's sin when he was strong. Excuse me. And so verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And so here we see Uzziah's sin. Now, quickly, I'm going to just turn to 2 Kings chapter 15. So 2 Kings gives another account, a briefer account of Uzziah. 2 Kings chapter 15 and verses 3 through 5. Now, in 2 Kings 15, all right, in 2 Kings 15, verse 3 through 5, it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king so that he was leper unto the day of his death. Now, if you'll notice in verse 2, verse 1, his name, he's also called Azariah, the son of Amaziah. And so, as we've noticed in 1 Kings, many of the kings had multiple names. And so, he was also referred to as Azariah. But here we see, importantly, that 2 Kings verifies that he did that which was right before the Lord besides the high places. And this was the Achilles heel for many of these kings throughout 1 Kings in the northern and the southern kingdom. They would allow the high places, and some would destroy them and some wouldn't. And so what were the high places? This is where the people would go to worship their false deities, up in the hills, in the gardens, in the forest, in hidden places where they could go and worship these false deities. And Uzziah, he allowed this. And so the account in Chronicles indicates that he had God's blessing until pride came into his life. And it could be that at that time is when his pride, he started to allow the high places. It could be. And those that worshipped in those high places, they usually worshipped the false deities of Baal and Ashtaroth, and that's where they would make their offerings. And presumably, he could have picked up these this sin, and it could have been what had influenced him in his actions for what he did, and which we will look at. And so in verse 16, the first part of verse 16, we see that his strength leads to his pride. His heart was lifted up because of his strength. He received blessing from the Lord, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So we see that Uzziah was obeying the Lord. He was doing that which was right, and the Lord allowed him. God helped him. The Lord gave him this position. However, the key piece for Uzziah was, as we mentioned, he started to think that this was his strength. He started to think that he was the one who influenced these things. And the scripture tells us that his heart was lifted to destruction. Now, 1 Kings 12, verse 1 refers to Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son. He said, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And so we see another king had done this. Now, we could go through many of the kings and apply the same example, because Rehoboam's father did the same thing, and Solomon, and Solomon's father did the same thing. And once they got to a place of success and of comfort, pride comes knocking on the door to lead them down to the path of sin. And so this, it's, you know, Scripture will say things over and over and over and over. And sometimes, you know, as you're studying, you're like, this is the same message. And it's on purpose. Pride is going to lead you to sin. This period of success, this period of, I'm doing all right now. Okay, I don't need you, Lord. You know, I'm going to do my own thing. And that's when we start to slip into sin. And so Scripture gives us multiple examples, especially with these kings, when pride sneaks into their life. Now, we are going to look at the in-depth picture of his sin. Now, we're going to see his pride. Pride allows us to do many different things. It causes us to sin in many different ways. And in this instance, his pride led him to be presumptive, to start taking privileges that were not his to take, and ultimately to disobey. And so in the second part of verse 16, we see his sin. And it says, he transgressed against the Lord his God. So first, it's a transgression, a sin against the Lord Jehovah. And he went into the temple of the Lord. All right, so this is the Lord's temple. And he goes into the Holy of Holies to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And I'll explain that a little bit more. But what we want to notice first, though, Uzziah's sin, it was not a gray area. It was not an ethical dilemma. He was not put in a hard spot where do I obey or do I disobey? This was a common core teaching from the time of childhood. This is the temple. The priests, the sons of Aaron, are the ones who go and operate within the temple. And so this was not a new teaching to Uzziah. Uzziah was a king. He was not a priest. And as a king, he had all power except in the temple. He could not just go in the temple and do as he pleased. Now, someone else did something like this. If we remember Lucifer, the Lord created Lucifer as one of the finest angels. And Lucifer had everything besides the fact that he was not God. And that wasn't good enough for Lucifer. And then that's where we see Lucifer's rebellion. And so as we look at the actual sin, he goes in and he tries to operate in the role of a priest by burning incense upon the altar of incense. Now, Numbers chapter 3 indicates, thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And so it was a role just for the sons of Aaron, and ultimately the Levites. And so the king, it didn't matter if you were the king, you could not operate in that role. Now, the altar of incense, Exodus 30, those chapters in Exodus, they detail the temple in great detail. Exodus 30, verses 1 through 10, give 10 verses of every single detail on the altar of incense. It was 3 feet high. It was 1.5 square foot. It was made of acacia wood, and it was overlaid with pure gold. And the priests, they would burn fragrant incense every morning and every evening. Most importantly, the altar of incense, it laid right outside the veil. And if you were to go through the veil, would be the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And that's where once a year the high priest would come in, and they would place the blood on the horns of the altar and make the atonement sacrifice for sin. And so this is where the altar of incense was, if you can picture that with me. Uzziah, he knew better. This was a basic teaching. You don't go and to operate as the role of the priest and to burn incense. All right. And so he transgresses against the Lord. And so it tells us in verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him and with them 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now, Uzziah, his pride and his strength deceived him. It deceived his heart. Obadiah verse 3, the Lord tells the people there, he says, The pride of thine heart hath deceived you. And very often our pride deceives us into thinking we're something that we're not. It's thinking we're a self-made person, and it's thinking that we have certain privileges. And pride and a deceived heart allows us to excuse sin. All right? It allows us to excuse sin, and we're the only ones that think it's okay. And everyone around us is saying, that's not right. It tricks us into thinking that we are superior to others, and ultimately superior to God. Pride and a deceived heart causes one to think they can dip into sin here and there and to cross certain boundaries and to overextend and to be presumptive and, well, this rule doesn't really apply to me. Spiritual pride can cause us to think that we achieve our spiritual success on our own, and it can cause us to forget that we grow in the grace of the Lord. Now, we need to walk in obedience, and we need to strive to be obedient to Scripture, and that's not to be a justification of sin at all. But as we grow in the grace of the Lord through His mercy and His grace, and as we walk in His Word. And so, pride caused Uzziah to presume that he had the right to burn incense. Just a little, breaking the rule a little. Well, actually, a lot. Now, this is where we go back to he saved the high places. The people that would go and worship in the high places, they got to burn their own incense and make their own sacrifices to the false gods. And this is going on, and he allowed this. So maybe, and maybe is the key, maybe he allows this sin, and he sees that, and now he thinks, well, I can just go burn my own incense in Solomon's temple, in this temple, and burn incense and do as I please. Maybe. But we see that we see these things here. Now, Uzziah's response to rebuke in verse 17 through 19, we just read these verses, I read verse 18 and verse 18, but let's look at verse 19. It says, Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense of altar. So we see the high priest, Azariah, and 80 other priests, they come and confront Uzziah. So you have 81 people saying, stop. What are you doing, Uzziah? And Uzziah is caught in the act of disobedience, breaking God's law. That was Levitical law, that he could not be there burning incense. And he is confronted with truth. The priests say, why are you doing something? It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, they call him by his name, to burn incense unto the Lord. And they clearly explain what the offense is. It's for the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. And so the priests, they clearly explain what his sin was. They give a very full explanation and indicate. And we see Uzziah, his response to rebuke. He is rebuked with truth from the priest. And we see his sad response. Verse 19 says, Then Uzziah was wroth. They withstood him and told him he could not do this. However, he responded in wrath, anger. And so he's responding in anger. He's the king. He knows the law. He's read the law. He's walked with God. He's seen God bless him. He becomes strong. Pride comes in and he's deceived. and he's doing something he clearly knows he should not. He's rebuked for it. And instead of having a humble heart and saying, "You're right, I'm in sin," he becomes wroth or full of wrath, anger. And this is his response, and it's a sad response. Proverbs 6:23 talks about being reproved. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Being reproved is how we grow. And this was a moment for Uzziah to be reproved. The priests, they weren't going after Uzziah because they didn't like him. They were looking out after him. They were looking out for him. "You are sinning. You need to stop." And his response to that rebuke, to a rebuke that was to help him ultimately grow and stay away from sin, was wrath. And why was he wrathful? This was a man that God helped him. God blessed him. He sought the Lord. And we see 16 verses full of blessings. And now he's responding in wrath to the high priest and 80 other priests. And so you see this sad moment in Uzziah's life. Now, if we remember James 1:19, as believers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's unbecoming, it's unbiblical for a believer to respond in wrath. But ultimately, the key here is the rebuke. He, in pride, did not want to hear rebuke. The proud cannot be wrong. The proud are not readily willing to say, "I'm sorry." And so instead of admitting wrong, but he's caught red-handed. So what could he do? He'd either have to humble himself and say, "I'm sorry, I'm wrong," or respond in wrath. And we see what he did. And so verses 19 through 21, we see Uzziah's consequence. It tells us in the middle of 19, "And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord." Now, verse 20 is interesting. It says, "And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests, they looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him." So the priest, they come, and they are rebuking the king with truth. And as they're rebuking him, he's responding in wrath, and they see the Lord smiting him with consequence for his sin right before their eyes. And it just says, "And they looked at him." And you can imagine them just seeing leprosy rise up in his face and his forehead. And they are saying, "We stood up for truth. We stood up for our responsibility regarding the temple of God, where we made their sacrifices to the Lord." And so the priest did their role and confronted him. And as he responds in anger, they are watching him disintegrate with leprosy in his forehead. And so then they thrust him out because the lepers weren't allowed in that part of the temple. And it says, "Yea, himself, he also hasted to go out." So they're getting rid of him and he's wanting to run away. So in pride, he is now humbled and he is running out. And it says in that last phrase, "because the Lord had smitten him." The Lord is the one who gave him that consequence. And so we see Uzziah's consequence here. It's leprosy. Now, leprosy is an interesting disease still to this day. It's the oldest known disease that we have. It's a bacteria that gets on your skin and in your lungs, and ultimately it slowly eats away at your flesh. Not trying to be disgusting. But however, with all our science now that we have, they still don't know everything there is to know about leprosy. And they're not quite sure how it transmits, meaning where does it come from and how does a person get it and then how does it go from one person to the other. So, you know, our 2018 scientists still don't understand this disease. Now, this disease has been around since as early as some parts of Genesis and Egypt. And so it's an interesting, I think it's a biblical disease. And just a little side note regarding leprosy. However, the key with leprosy here was in that day, it was extremely contagious And once you had it, nobody got better. Nobody recovered from it. So once you were a leper, you were isolated. And so, but one of the points here, the Lord smites him. His sin was against the Lord, and the Lord is the one that deals him his consequence. Now, his consequence was leprosy. It was a disease. He was a leper until the day of his death. We don't have the exact timing. We can't really figure out the timing of how long that was. But he was a leper until the day of his death. I'd say that is a consequence. The next piece was separation. He had to live in a several house, we call it here. It's a house that's separated. It's just for lepers who were isolated from spreading this highly contagious disease. So he had to live separated. He had loss of privilege. He was the king. He got to do kingly things, to travel and to reign. He could no longer do that. Verse 21 says, "And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And so his son took over for him." And so he had this mighty privilege to be the king of Judah. And he loses that privilege. Consequence of his sin. Now, one piece I want to point out, though, was he was humbled. He did not humble himself, but he was humbled. So the Lord humbled him. So we each have the opportunity to humble ourselves before the Lord or to be humbled by the Lord. And it's much better to humble ourselves than to be humbled. And so humble yourselves before you sin. The Lord humbles Uzziah, and we see this consequence. And so, regarding consequences, his strength, our strength, can lead us to pride. We need to understand pride is our enemy. Satan uses pride to deceive us, and it comes in so many forms, and Scripture talks so much about pride. We could be here for weeks talking about the different forms of pride, but ultimately, each one of us has to be accountable in the mornings when we get up. You know, as Pastor always says, pride is there waiting for you. And putting on our armor, Ephesians chapter 6. Humbling ourselves and remembering who fearfully and wonderfully made us, who created us, who saved us. Remembering where we really lie, that we are servants of the Lord, we are creatures of the Lord made to worship Him. And any position or privilege is from the Lord that He gives us, and all glory needs to go to the Lord. And when you have a perspective, a biblical perspective for a believer like that, you can shirk off pride. But we need to understand, though, as believers, pride can lead us to catastrophic spiritual failure. Any one of us. Nobody is above pride and the consequences of pride. We look at many different examples. As I discussed earlier, Moses. Moses, at the end of Deuteronomy, it tells us that Moses, his eye wasn't dim, and he had not lost strength. All right, he was not ready to die, but his consequence was not allowing him to go into the land of Canaan to lead the Israelites. The consequence, his life was cut short. That was the consequence for disobeying the Lord. David, he lost a child, and then he lost the respect of his children, the consequence of his sin. And his family was in disarray for the rest of his life until the day he died. His family was still quarreling, and his sons were still trying to take over his throne. If we remember Ananias and Sapphira, they were killed immediately for lying to the Holy Ghost. And so we need to realize that sin, it always has consequences. We don't get to choose the consequences. The Lord chooses those consequences, and He deals justly with our sin. And so as we look at Uzziah, I think we can learn multiple lessons from his life. And we want to look at this specific principle or the specific pericope where you have Uzziah. He was strong. The Lord had blessing for him. However, that strength, he became proud with the strength that the Lord gave him. And in that, he slipped into sin. He was deceived, and he started to take privileges that were not his. We see that when he was confronted, Azariah confronted him in love, probably saying, "This is sin. You cannot do that." And his response was sad. It was in wrath. He did not want to be rebuked by truth. As believers, we need to be willing to be rebuked. It's the way of life, Proverbs tells us, to be rebuked by truth, ultimately to help us grow in our walk with the Lord. But as well, the somber reminder that sin always has consequences, and that we don't get to choose those consequences, and we have to live with those consequences. So anyway, I hope we can each learn from these principles and meditate on them and apply them in our lives. So I'll end with a word of prayer. Father, we come now. We just thank you for this evening. We thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to meditate on these truths and apply them in our lives, Lord, and to humble ourselves each day before you. We pray and ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.